Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Get your feet on the floor, get out in your backyard and fire up a grill, a smoker, deep fryer, whatever it is that you got to cook on, and create a little grill envy in your neighborhood. Hey, the Mother's Day is behind us, and now we're just pressing on to the good old summer barbecuing. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks, Jop. And it's going to be a good show because we have fun stuff lined up for you, and might be a little beer, might be a little taste of Memphis in May, and it's just all things that smoke and taste good, and we're going to try and quench your palate today with all the things that we can legally quench it with.
Yeah, and then some, because it is going to be fun. But I want to talk a little bit about, we were hitting Mother's Day pretty hard last week on the show, and so I pulled it off on Sunday, right? And we covered a lot of stuff, but I did a fallback to the traditional. I did shrimp skewers, but what I did is, before I get to the shrimp skewers, I should preface it with, we talked about those cupcakes that were made in a half of an orange.
Mm-hmm.
So I made those.
Nice.
Right? Yeah, and they turned out fabulous, really, but that's not the story. All the orange that I took out of there, right, I cut six oranges in half to make a dozen cupcakes, and I've got this big bowl of orange that I put in the blender and pureed it down, and then put my shrimp in a bowl and poured that over the top for about an hour. Well, you know, you don't want to get the stuff to cook because the acid in the citrus will do that. So it was only in there about an hour. I pulled them out, but it was pulpy, right? And the pulp kind of stuck to the oranges, or it stuck to the shrimp from the oranges when I pulled them out. I just put them on a skewer and then let them kind of drip dry a little bit before I put them on the grill. But that pulp had stuck to the shrimp. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Was that good?
Really?
I mean, super good. And it wasn't overwhelmingly
crazy
orange, but
crazy.
It was just like an experiment,
oh,
right?
Orange and fish is such a natural.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So it was good. And,
what
you know,
great idea.
Then I went over to the butcher shop, our
Look
favorite
at you,
butcher.
Little barbecue chef.
Yeah. And put a little, porterhouse beside that. And I had Michelle and her daughter and her granddaughter over. And I set them up on the patio outside. And I took a piece of linen and put it over the table outside and took the inside chairs out and set them up with the whole deal and served them. I didn't eat with them.
Strangers in the night.
Yeah, I didn't eat with them. I just brought it all out to them in courses. I did the grilled romaine salad. I did seven courses for them over the course of Mother's Day, sitting on the deck in a beautiful day. But
I bet you took a nap about 6 o'clock,
yeah,
didn't you?
Right. And you know, they were being polite, but they're like, oh, you didn't eat. Are you hungry? I'm like, look, does a barbecue chef ever go hungry?
Right.
No.
I already ate while I was cooking.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You just get it on a plate. I just ate it right off the grill.
That's nice.
But anyway, yeah, it was kind of fun to be able to do that and dote on them a little bit.
Well, that's perfect because the orange muffins that we covered last week were the only thing I didn't make.
Really?
I did the pork chops with the balsamic onion reduction.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. I put it all on thegrillingguys.com if you want to see pictures of that recipe. We have real live action photos, even raw meat.
Yeah.
But the pork chops turned out beautiful. My son Jordan's home right now and I made a whole bunch of them.
Right.
They're gone.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and you know what? I was surprised they kept. That Mother's Day was what, Sunday to, you know, yesterday, Friday, we ate the last one. And it was still good. I thought maybe the peel would, but after they've been baked on the
nice
grill
and
like
moist,
that,
probably.
They were still very moist. And
that's cool.
Yeah, but it was
very
just
cool. Did you take
cool
some pictures of them?
What? Oh no, we just ate them. I'm sure Michelle might have taken
Fail.
Some pictures of the stuff as I brought it out, but I was busy playing, you know, waiter and chef all the
Well,
one,
that
anyway.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it was good.
We enjoyed the pork chops. I did not get to make the garlic mash though. Made those the night before. But my wife had a specific request for her rice pilaf recipe.
Oh.
Which I actually altered, of course.
Well, yeah.
Because we were short a couple
it.
Things.
Yeah.
It was really good. It was really good, but I have a really funny, tragic story. I was, you know, really busy and, you know, doing all this, as you know, because you did the same thing. And by the time everybody sat down, I did not get to snack, so I was famished. By the time this came, I'm like trying to herd all these cats to the table. It's like, come on, let's eat. I was starving. So I take my first bite of the pork chop, and I'm just chomping away at it, and I swallowed it without my 23 chews. You got to chew your meat 23 times.
Okay.
And it, because it's very lean,
right,
it kind of wedged in my throat. Wasn't choking, but it wasn't going down my
whatever. Oh, yeah, and that's
whatever.
Just that lump there.
Oh,
yeah.
So I said, excuse me. So I went in the bathroom and brought a glass of water, and I'm like trying to drink water to wash it down. It was not going anywhere. So after about 10 minutes, everybody's busting into the bathroom. What's going on? What's going on? I'm like, I'm just trying to get this meat down. The moral of the story is, even if you're in a hurry and you're hungry, especially with meat, brisket will do this too. Brisket and pork loin are very, very lean.
Right.
Chew it 23 times.
No one had to do the hind leg?
I didn't get to see the entire dinner.
Really?
I was in the bathroom. They were bringing me burners, and I'm like rinsing it out. And it finally went down, and I went in to sit down and eat my meal, and they're all like, done.
Yeah. I'm eating alone today. Yeah. Well, it happens.
So
right?
That was quite the, it was weird. I you know, they're all coming in, and I felt, I was embarrassed. I'm like, no, I'm not.
Well, you were hungry.
Not going to like die in
right?
here. I'm okay. It just hurts. It's painful.
Yeah.
So that's a heck of a lesson. Even if you're in a hurry, chew that stuff carefully, because lean meats in particular. I did that once eating brisket, you know, just like eating like my dog, just like you know, sucking down brisket. And, you know, I had just a batch of it that did not want to go down. I'm like, oh, man. Slow down, you pig.
Right. I've done that with hard-boiled eggs, right? They dry your
right.
Dry your mouth out almost instantly. I don't know why, but they do. And then it gets stuck in that halfway down. Yeah, it's no good. It's no good. No good at all.
So anyway, the cool thing is that pear onion reduction for pork chops, it's on the website. And go to thegrillingguys.com. And if you don't get the podcast and you want us on podcast, sign up. It's on the top right corner. Look for the earmuffs. Click on it, follow the instructions. We'll send the show right to your phone so that you can listen to us at your convenience, because we're kind of rude and we just come on at whatever time we come on in your market.
Yeah, we got bumped around last weekend. We apologize if you tried to find us and you couldn't. There was a little
depending
thing,
on the market you're in.
Right, but depending on the market you were in, because there was here in West Michigan, there was a annual 25K run that kind of preempted everything in the
everybody
world.
Everybody else heard us on time.
They shut
so
the
it's
town
okay.
down. They shut the damn town down to run this race.
It was
but
pretty
I get
cool,
it.
Though,
it
because,
is. It is.
Because Saturday afternoon, I got to listen to it at my leisure.
Right.
Oh, that's fine.
Right.
I was running around a Tractor Supply. I planted this vineyard a couple years ago, and this year I was bound and determined to get my irrigation system in, so I've been buying drip lines and all these things, trying to figure out how to, I'm in sand, you know, and it dries up so easily up there that my lawn's brown by the middle of July. I don't have sprinkler systems
as are
or
your
anything.
Grapevines?
Yeah. So right. Now they're on a timer. These drip lines are going. It's gorgeous. It's, by the time the party comes around, I'll have it all mulched, and that vineyard is...
I was going
to
say, you'll have weeds taller than the vines next to it because they're drinking every day.
I'm going to get a little mandolin player out there and just let him play his mandolin by the grapevines.
Okay, and watch him bloom, right? Yeah, you didn't lose him for frost in the last couple weeks. But, hey, anyway, coming up next, this is going to be kind of fun. There's a new little game that you brought to the studio, right, Bob?
That's right. It's called Unlabeled. It's an entrepreneur, and his name is Nathan. Stay tuned.
Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport. Satisfaction's been our name. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. I hope you got a great weekend in front of you because the weather is almost summer-like right now where we are, and I hope it is where you are as well. And just makes me want to throw on some shorts and flip-flops and get out and fire up the grill in the backyard and make it happen. But it also brings to mind great craft beer. And Barbecue Bob, you invited somebody to the show today. Tell us a little bit about what we got going on.
That's right, and thanks for the great bumper music, producer Brian Fongers at the Big Board, the wizard of the Big Board. We've had Hillhoff Farms on for their being the first organic dairy in Michigan,
right.
And that's my buddy Carl's brother, his
right.
little brother.
Right.
And now my buddy Carl's son is right here. We're promoting the Stradoff family, basically, is what we're doing. Nathan Stradoff, I've known this kid since, well, he was born. He's my daughter Emily's age. They grew up together, and he's a smart lad, went to Aquinas, moved off to Germany, came back with all sorts of beer knowledge, and he has invented this game called Unlabel. Welcome, Nathan Stradoff and Unlabeled to the Grilling Guys.
Hey, Grilling Guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So, Nathan, Unlabeled, tell us what this is.
So, it's a board game, and the design is meant to be simple and conversational. It's meant for all beer drinkers. Whether you're a seasoned home brewer or one who just likes a nice beer every now and then, you're going to like this game.
Okay.
This is a cool concept, and now you've got it already up on the market. You can buy this thing. I'm going to plug this a couple times. How are you funding this?
So you can find us right now on Kickstarter. So Kickstarter. You can even just throw in Google Unlabeled Beer Game or Unlabeled Game, and you'll find us.
This is getting really popular, and the buzz on this, no pun intended, is you're going to see how all the brewers are grabbing this right now, but explain how it works.
Yeah, so actually I hope to put you guys to the test here, and the way the game works is you will be tasting a beer blindly and then analyzing the board, and the board has all different styles of beer from specific types of beer like an imperial stout, an Irish stout, and then we get a little less specific like a general category of beer like a stout or a porter, and then it's also there's options as simple as an ale or a lager. So we really cover the spectrum and we're detailed or general.
Now it's a great looking design and it's really easy to read because you got all the categories, the styles, lagers and ales. I don't see any root beer, but I guess that's okay. So let's play. How are we doing this?
All right. So I served you guys up a beer in a Tiku glass.
A who glass?
A Tiku glass. It's my favorite German beer glass. Actually selling these on Amazon as well.
Okay, but another guy's little an entrepreneur.
Oh, I'm telling you, this guy. Watch for him in Forbes someday.
So they're tasting the beers, and now they will have a look at the board. No pressure.
Okay, Bob, you take the first look at the board, and I'll kind of narrate what's going on. First of all, this Tiku glass almost looks, it's almost the shape of a wine glass, but the rim turns back out where a wine glass comes together at the top. This one turns back out, and I think what it's doing is it's letting those aromatics release, and it kind of funnels them down, but then they hit your sensory when you pull it to your lips, right?
You might need a bigger sample.
Yeah, absolutely. Like a wine glass, it has that chimney there, but then it finishes. The lip is like a beer glass, so the lip kind of turns right at the end.
Okay, so we've got these barrels. We got these kegs. Do I put the keg on what I think it is?
Yes, exactly.
Mm.
So it's a push your luck. If you're incorrect, you end up scoring zero. So the more specific you are, there's a chance
to
score zero.
So Bob, you do this, and let me take you through this. For 1 point, I can choose a lager or an ale, right? And you said for 2 points, then I go up to the categories of whether it's a pale ale, IPA, wheat beer, amber, strong ale, such. And then if I really think I nailed it, I can go into, let's say, for the wheat beers, I can do an American wheat, a dunkel, a Weiss beer, a Weizenbach, or a wit beer.
Yeah. There's a huge selection.
Right, there's a whole selection
Your tongue gets to guide you in the game, and that's a cool thing. So,
exactly. And
so I picked an amber lager, and I'm going with the Czech profile. I think it's a Czech amber lager, but it's a guess. What do I know?
Okay, and I think that I'm going to go with an amber ale, Bob, and I'm going to go with a Belgian double. How'd we do?
All right, guys, I'll reveal the beer.
Okay, this is gonna show how bad we suck.
This is from Comstock, Michigan, Bell's Amber Ale.
An amber ale. So it was just an American amber ale? Was that the category?
Yes.
So I was one
That's
off.
That's a nice dry amber ale.
Oh, quit backpedaling. Yeah. You blew
no,
it.
No, it is.
You were over in the lagers.
Well, he was very close. With the amber, this is very close.
Uh-huh. Right, but it was an amber color. Yeah. So
Randy actually scores 1 point here because, sure, you guessed
the Because you pointed at that block.
The Belgian one.
I do have hunting dogs.
Because you're
when
close.
They point at something, you usually go after it, right?
Thank
you.
We give you a point for being close there.
So, all right. So he's got another one. Here we go. This is like gaming radio.
Yeah.
So.
This next beer is one that I think both of you have probably had a bunch of times. So if you know, we didn't mention this before, but if you know the exact beer, play your piece in the middle for max points.
Oh, if you can name the beer.
Exactly.
Play your piece in the middle. What do you mean?
Yeah, at the unlabeled square. And how many points do we get there?
5 points.
5 points. And the object of the game is you do this for 4 or 5 beers, and the person with the most points that can still talk at the end of that game is the winner, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And while you guys are tasting that, I'll kind of explain how you get to have unlabeled beers. So one option is to have all your friends come over and each bring 1 to 2 beers, keeping the identities hidden. And then you take turns as beer hosts, serving the unlabeled beer to the other players.
Do you say host or ho?
Beer host.
Okay, with a T. Yeah.
And then another way to play is just to go to the bar and you can or brewery and order a flight and ask the server to keep the identities hidden. It's a great night out at the bar playing this game.
Sure. And you've got it packaged in such a way that you can take it with you and you're not going to be carrying in the box that says Scrabble on it.
Right.
You've got one that's
I'm going in the middle.
Unlabeled. Bob thinks he knows this one right out. Okay, so then I took the 2-point route and I said that this is an American American IPA.
And you're right, it is an American IPA. But Bob, before we reveal the beer, what do you got? You're guessing.
I'm saying it's an all day IPA. Or Founders regular IPA.
Very
I'm
close.
Not sure which one.
It is an American IPA.
Two-hearted.
This is my long term relationship beer. Yeah.
Okay. So our friends from Bell's Brewery.
Two-hearted.
We had two of their beers today. Awesome. Both of them very, very good as usual. But so Bob, by missing,
I get nothing.
He gets a zilch, and I have
3 points.
3 points. Brian, do we have like an applause crowd button somewhere on the board?
No.
Because this needs to be documented in time that I beat Bob at a beer tasting contest because I had no idea that would ever happen.
Well, but then we're just gonna have to keep playing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but that's the thing is that no, Bob's palate, he's well much more traveled than
very,
I am.
Very gracious of you.
Yep. When it comes to beer, because I find something that I like and I drink a lot of it, and I'm not a big guy that goes all over the map, but you are. And that's why I thought I'd lose. But I didn't, man. So there's the crowd.
Congratulations.
This would be a lot of fun, though. I can see this at every microbrewery.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine sitting down and letting your server participate so that they're bringing you the 5-ounce flights?
Right.
And just, you know.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
So you buy the
5-ounce
flight.
So you play this in the pub or at home.
Exactly. And only one person at the table knows what they are.
Yeah. The waiter.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, and he becomes a judge and jury.
Yeah,
exactly, yeah. It's a great night out.
I think there's some legs on this thing.
So you've played this game before with a bunch of your friends, right?
Many times.
Yeah. So how long does a game of it usually last?
I would say 30 to 90 minutes, depending on your pace. So it's just, you know, it depends on how fast you drink, I guess.
It's not like beer pong where the object is to slam beer. This is more about tasting the beer.
It's a lot harder than you might think, too.
Yeah, right.
I was convinced that first one was a lager.
Right. Yep. And I wasn't. I knew it was an amber ale when the pointing dog went on point.
I've never had this one. This is from Bell's. It's Bell's Amber Ale. Very good.
Yep.
I'm going to make sure that it's good and just try a little bit more here because my glass is empty. But Nathan Stradoff, the game is called Unlabeled. Look for it on
Kickstarter.
Kickstarter. So. Love that
business.
And
if I wanted to buy it, how much is it?
$25.
Easy. Easy money.
Oh.
This will pay for itself. Because if you bet your buddies $1 a point, you got it paid for in one session.
That's right. Guaranteed. Randy's a math whiz. And apparently a beer whiz.
Yeah, right.
Hey, thanks for joining us, Nathan. And
thank you.
The game is called Unlabeled. Check it out on Kickstarter. We're going to ask you to stick around because you brought beer.
Coming up next, our friend Mark Lambert from Sweet Swine of Mine might have made a little history down at Memphis in May. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from The Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, just want a little point of clarification there if you just were listening to the last segment. This game, Unlabeled, is in the kickstart phase. I may have led you to believe that you could go and buy one. Right now, he's in the kickstart stage. As soon as he sells his minimum quantity of them, they'll be able to get shipped to you. So get on there on Kickstart. Look for Unlabeled. They're going to be $25 a pop. Get one, and then the thing will become a reality.
It's going to be the rage.
Yeah, you're going to want it.
A man's going to make some money.
Yeah, he is.
Right now on the grilling line, we have Sweet Swine of Mine, star from Memphis in May, Mark Lambert. How you doing, buddy?
Whew, hot already. It's hot on this river, and it's humid, and the river's flooded, and so is the park.
Well, that's Memphis in May.
Right.
That's right.
So we're talking with Mark Lambert from the very famous now team called Sweet Swine of Mine and the distributing company called Sweet Swine of Mine. And this guy has won lots of competitions. You've won a few of these competitions down at Memphis in May. Tell us what you've done down there over the last 20 years.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, we've been fortunate. We got on the stage a couple of times before we started making the top three. And they only, you know, the top three prizes, or I guess the top four prizes, are big trophies. Of course, top prize is big check, but we've been fortunate to win our category, which is the whole shoulder division, four times, and we've been second twice and third once.
Wow.
We won the overall honors twice.
That big check that you're talking about.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that helps it because
yes, it does.
People have never competed before don't understand exactly how expensive it is to bring a big trailer or several trailers and a bunch of guys and all that food, and you might even drink a few beers while you're there.
Yeah, if you can, if you've never been, even if you've been to visit Memphis in May, it's hard to understand what all is involved in Memphis in May because it's more than just a barbecue contest. They start out the beginning of the month, the first weekend of the month, you start loading everything in for the Memphis in May Music Fest. That takes a full week. And there's like six stages and all kinds of infrastructure for that. Then they have a week to load all of that out and a week to bring in everything for the barbecue. And that includes, you know, tents with full three-story scaffoldings. And everyone has a tent. Everyone has a floor. Everyone has a rig. Everyone has, most everyone has a big party. So it takes a full week of load-in for, you know, upwards of 280 to 300 teams over the Tom Lee Park that runs parallel to the downtown skyline of Memphis between Mud Island and the old Rivermark Apartments and now Condoplex on the south end. So it's a huge park along the Mississippi River, and it's completely flooded with people for the barbecue. For, you know, it'll take a full 3 weeks, 1 week of load-in, 1 week of contest, 1 week of load-out.
Wow.
And then the last week of May, after everything's loaded out, they'll usually have a symphony, Sunset Symphony, and a picnic down there to round out Memphis in May. So it's a full month.
And one more year, Jop and I have not been there. I'm so ashamed of myself.
It's one of the big ones. You got to go.
Yeah, I know we do. And we just have not made it a priority, and that's bad on our part because – it sounds like we could learn a lot down there, too, because this is a creme de la creme of the barbecue teams. I mean, you don't just show up and this be your first contest. I'm sure there are some, but if you really want to get in it to win it, you better bring an A game, right?
Yeah, what does it take to even get invited?
These days, you don't have to be invited. You pay your money. Preference is given if there is an overflow abundance of applicants. Preference is given to previous winners. Top 10 in categories, previous winners, seniority, if you will, is given. But, you know, I tell anyone that wants to come cook, they always call me and ask me how to get in. I say, well, you know, as soon as the application hits the internet, pay your money and you'll get in. Bottom line. Used to, you had to, when it was a sanctioned network, you had to win your way in. And it was, at the end of the, after all the spots were given out for the winning teams, then there was a lottery. So now it's pretty much a lottery except for the little seniority given.
Mark, you said your category. Explain that to me. You said whole shoulder. For our listeners that don't know what that cut is, what are you talking about?
Yep, whole shoulders, it includes four bones. And it must have four bones. And those are two bones in the bottom of the shank of the shoulder and then connected to an arm bone and then connected to a blade bone. So just like in your arm, in your lower arm, there are two bones, and your upper arm, there's one, and then it's connected to a shoulder blade. It's just like a pork shoulder. So it must include all of those bones. The other categories is it's a 100% hog contest for the championship division. So you can cook whole shoulder, whole hog, or ribs. You have to choose one.
Oh, okay.
And the park is divided between the rib teams on the north, the hog teams in the middle, and the shoulder teams in the south.
That sounds pretty cool. So there's no brisket, no chicken, anything else at Memphis in May?
Yeah, they've got all of that too, but they're ancillary contests. They're not part of the championship division.
Okay. So they're an aside.
So you're taking this hog that you cook right above the hoof all the way up through the shoulder. Are we getting a whole leg bone in there?
You're getting everything except the trotter.
Okay. Yep. Yep, exactly. And you don't find that in a butcher store. You have to, I mean, you aren't just going to go into any butcher shop. You got to have that cut for you specially, right?
You know, here in the Memphis area, it's very common. Whole shoulder is more common than Boston butt. Boston butt's just the top of the shoulder. And Boston butt is actually where the arm bone and the blade bone connect. That's where they cut it off, and that makes the Boston butt. And the bottom part they call picnic.
Right,
right. So my question is I'm sure it's all wonderful and they judge it all, but is there a specific part of that whole shoulder that is judged over the other?
You know, everyone has their favorite way of cooking it and their favorite piece. Some people cook it fat cap down. Some people cook it fat cap up. I cook it fat cap up, and I pull all of the fat off and all the silver skin. I have a few favorite pieces. One is of course, going to be the money muscle. It's not my top dog at Memphis in May. It is at KCBS. But at Memphis in May, it's secondary. The tubes in the Boston butt are very important. There are three very good tubes when it's cooked properly in the butt.
The money meat.
There's also on top of the butt, there's what they call a false cap, or some the butchers may call it blade meat. And it's a real thin, flat piece, sort of like a cape that goes over the top of the shoulders of the pig all the way across. And it has a really nice layer of fat under it that protects it. So it's one of the best pieces of bark that will come off the top of the shoulder through a competition. It's one of the best bites there is.
So how are you feeling about your turn-in, and how long do you have to turn in?
You know, it looks as good as it ever has. I feel very confident about it. The turn-ins start at 11 o'clock, and 10:45 to 11 is our blind box turn-in. 11 o'clock starts our first judge. We have three judges for 15 minutes with 5 minutes in between. If we happen to make the top three, we'll get a notification, and we will actually present to four judges at one time on site. So you can imagine how much we're cooking. We have to have four whole shoulders for our blind box, and that's because we're taking just the choice pieces out of it. Then we have to have a shoulder for each judge. That makes seven. And then we have to have at least two for our finals. That makes nine. So we're cooking 12 whole shoulders for this contest.
That's awesome. Mark Lambert.
They're 25 pounds a piece, by the way.
Mark Lambert, sweet swine of mine. You're actually from Mississippi, from Delta Country, so you're just south of Memphis where you live. And if you want to check him out, what's your website?
It's SSOMD.com. That's just an acronym for Sweet Swine of Mine Distributing.
Awesome. You got a lot of great stuff. Buddy, I wish you the best of luck.
Appreciate it. You guys have fun. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking time with us.
The guy's a pro, man. A dozen of those full shoulders, man. And you know what? He's just picking and choosing, right?
He's a really nice guy. Yeah. Just a terribly nice guy. He's got some products. He's got a little smoker and some stuff he sells on his website. But, dude, coming up next, I think we need to talk a little more smoking since we're in the smoking mood. And let's talk about how to take care of some salmon if you've been lucky lately.
Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
It's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. I tell you, Bob, Mark Lambert, that guy is a humble dude. He is a champion's champion. That guy.
Yeah, he's one of the biggest in the country.
Right. And it's just cool that right in the heat of battle, he took a minute to talk to us. So yes. Grateful for him for doing that. And
that air down there where they're at. I mean, I should have asked him how many teams are there, but there's got to be 300, 400, 500 teams, all with smokers. And some of them have 2-3 smokers.
Sure.
I mean, that air has to be solid blue. Yeah. Ain't nobody smelling like anything but smoke.
Right.
And, you know, right now we got people going out on the water. No matter where you live, the fishermen in North America are waking up and getting out and getting their catches. And maybe you come back with a nice big fish and you want to smoke it. And I'm going to tell you that a lot of people mess up smoking fish. What do you think?
Well, in my opinion, the easiest way to mess it up is putting too much smoke on it, because it goes from just a wonderful little hint of flavor to being either bitter or so overpowering that you don't taste the fish at
right.
all.
It's just you taste smoke for a day.
Right. And fish being the light nature of it doesn't need a lot of smoke. Because even if you got a big
unless piece it's of, a mackerel.
Right. Or a big piece of oily trout. Or lake trout or something like that, you might want to hit that a little bit harder. But if you've got a nice piece of salmon, you want to touch it with the smoke. You don't want to drown it.
Right, but if you're on the ocean and you catch something like a mackerel, that's oily too, really mm-hmm. strong, pungent smell. You're going to brine the heck out of it. And I'd probably go heavy smoke on a mac.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes when you're fishing, they have what you call a mac attack, and you just get these school of mackerel that hit you. And, I mean, you're going to bring them in the boat.
Right.
It's hard to throw them all away because maybe that's all you've gotten so far.
Yeah.
So if you end up with something like that, a stinky fish, the smoker might be your cure-all, and then you're going to go heavier on your salt and sugar in your brine and throw some citrus or an acid in there and try and pull that stink out of that thing. Because have you ever eaten mackerel?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
I'm not.
They're a fishy fish and real bony, but a lot of good meat and kind of a redder meat. But it's going to be kind of pungent. So, you know, that'd be one. I'd throw a little acid in with my brine, and I'd leave it in like 24 hours. And even if it par cooks it because of the acid, it won't matter. You're still extracting. The salt and sugar is going to help you extract some of that
oiliness
oil out of it, which is carrying the odor.
And the acid that you refer to is what?
Well, I'd use lemon.
Right. Maybe some lime. Orange is not nearly as acidic as the lemons and the limes are, but, so you may need to use more of that. It's more of a sweeter flavor. But at the end of the day, all of those with citric acid in them are going to help pull that oiliness out of there. This cooking process that Bob's talking about is, if you've ever had ceviche, which is raw fish that's just been soaked in lemon or lime juice, and it in effect cooks it, and you don't want that
or vinegar.
Right. You don't want that to happen if you're going to put it on the smoker, because if it's already cooked, so to speak, the smoke won't absorb.
When I lived in Hawaii in the military, the Hawaiians used to make something called lomi lomi salmon. And they would cut it up into little cubes. And it was like salt, oil, and vinegar. And you would leave it for like a day, and it cured it. So it's very much like ceviche, probably the same process. But, oh my gosh, it was so good because it was fresh salmon caught out of the ocean. Just little bitty cubes, and, you know, you'd serve it with green onion and, I don't know, whatever vegetable you had, you know, on the countertop at the day, and just throw it in there, maybe some cukes or something like that. And
just a real nice spring fresh flavor.
God, my mouth's watering thinking of lomi lomi salmon. But so, you know, in terms of smoking fish, I would ask you, what is your end game? What is your goal? Why are you smoking the fish?
Right, and there's a couple things that come to mind for me. I enjoy, and I'll go down this road, you can go down the other one. I enjoy making dips out of smoked fish. To eat just a bunch of smoked fish off the board, unless it's done perfectly, I'm good for a bite or two.
And then there, especially in that game, in my opinion, dips, you're saying party or group, you're going to have a bunch of people eating it. There's a time when you can't have something too smoky.
Right.
And fish in particular. Now, salmon can be a little strong, a little pungent, have that trout profile. So, you know, your brine is going to be a big deal in terms of taming that fish down a little bit. But what you don't want to do is brine it perfectly and then throw it in the smoker and pound on it so that you change the color of the meat.
Right.
I would tell you, if you're throwing it, let's say you've got a Kamado cooker, like a Primo.
Yep.
If you're going to throw it on your Primo, or your egg of whatever sort it is, I would just use a really good charcoal. I would not throw a flavor wood on there.
Okay.
Because there's so much smoke in a good charcoal, that's all you need. You just pick up that beautiful oak profile, just a nice hint of it, because a good charcoal will burn pretty clean. But you pick up a nice profile and just lightly smoke it. And then, you know, you're going to brine it for 12 hours,
salt, sugar, and the acid.
Sugar, maybe an acid, maybe not. Could be just salt, sugar. And then you're going to take it out, you're going to pat it dry, and you're going to let it set on the counter for at least an hour. And then it will form a skin on it. It's called a pellicle. And that pellicle is going to help you seal off the meat to a certain extent, so that otherwise the smoke would like penetrate that whole thing, because none of the steaks are that thick, right?
Right.
So that pellicle forms, and that'll keep you from ruining your meat.
And that pellicle is a natural thing. You don't need to worry about it. It's not like it's
going
bad.
No.
It's there for a reason. And what it'll do is it keeps the smoke on the surface, and you don't get penetration all the way through the cut. Now, Bob, when you smoke, do you smoke on tin foil? Do you smoke on a cedar plank? Do you smoke on just the grates?
Depends on what the wood you've got. You know, it depends on the fish you've got, but like if it's salmon, for me, I'm not the biggest salmon fan. I'm okay with it. I like it if it's done right, but so many people don't do it right. But if you're a little worried about your fish and you think it might be a little strong, my favorite way to do it is to take the skin off it and throw it on a cedar plank. Soak a cedar plank, throw it in and let it soak on a cedar, or alder is another good wood to throw it on. Cherry works. You can use lots of woods that'll actually add profile to that fish and tame it just a little bit. But cedar is a fantastic way to do it.
And what'll happen is that cedar, you've soaked it in wood so it doesn't catch on fire, but the edges of it will anyway.
Well, if it's on a direct flame, it will.
Right, yep.
But you might be doing it on an indirect smoker, so then it won't give you any trouble.
Right. But if you are on a direct flame, it actually adds to the presentation. It's pretty cool. So if the edges of that bar, the edges of that board are charred.
I still remember that situation where we were at Tip Up Town.
Yeah,
we were serving the flaming fish.
Yeah,
but so then you pull it off the smoker. If you're going to make a dip with it, you got to let it rest a couple hours.
Yep.
You want that thing to exhaust because, again, there you're going to get rid of some smoke. You're going to get rid of a little fishiness, and you're going to let that thing come to temperature, come to room temp. And then it should flake apart really nicely, and you can throw in a little cream cheese, some chopped scallion, and
a little sour cream to loosen it up a little bit, and then some garlic in there, yep. Minced garlic, and
some crushed pepper.
You know your profiles.
Yeah, whatever you like.
Whatever you like.
Garlic salt is always great.
Right.
And just mix that into a nice dip. Chop up any veggies you want, pimento, anything in there, and then get yourself some nice crackers, and oh, man, that is such a nice spread.
And it's easy, and it keeps. That's the thing is it'll keep for a week. You keep it in the fridge. You take it in and out a couple times. But you don't leave it sitting on the counter for 3 hours. Take out as much as you think you're going to eat, but the rest of it will stay in the fridge for at least a week. So it's something that you can have. Make it on a Thursday. Bring it up to the party over the weekend at the cottage or wherever you're at, and it'll last two or three servings.
It also works well for fish tacos. You know, it's already cooked. It's served. You got some tortillas and some cabbage.
You mean the salmon, right?
Yeah.
Not the dip, you got some salmon, yeah.
Some tortilla and some cabbage and whatever, cilantro. Throw yourself together some wraps, and there's lots of ways to use that fish once it's smoked. But I think we need to talk about National Barbecue Month next.
All right. Coming up next, it's Barbecue Month. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got 6 packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Today's man law is one that Joppy probably wouldn't agree with because he would probably do this all the time. But a man shall never help another man apply suntan oil.
I'm going to let your ass burn. I hope that you forget and I'm standing right beside you and you look like a cooked lobster, dude. You are throwing me under the bus and I do this, right?
You can say that on the
I just did and it's over. I didn't even see him go for the beep button. But anyway.
It's National Barbecue Month, so it's a good time to think about your safety. Don't forget to give your grill a good once-over and check your gas lines, check your grates, and just make sure your barbecuing is safe. I'm going to actually go online and order one of those grill mats for under my Cajun because I redid my outdoor kitchen again. My wife's complaining I got too many grills out there. She's in my grill about my deck.
She's not wrong.
I know. No. What do you mean?
I know, he says.
A couple weeks ago, I had the honor of going to the second annual Veterans Thanksgiving. Last year, I went Colonel Gillum from Front Lines of Freedom, who's aired after us on several stations, got me invited last year. And this year, I got invited again. And it's just it was a gigantic gathering of veterans and then high school kids and corporate sponsors. And there were active military. They had a great speaker, a guy who basically was on the cover of Men's Health, and he was on Dancing with the Stars, and I can't think of his name right now. But so it was a wonderful luncheon. But I sat down at the table, and they signed tables, and each veteran goes to a table. So I'm sitting down at this table. It was sponsored by a company called Barnett Manufacturing out of Holland, Michigan. And they make machines for wood processing and really cool handmade. It's a company, family-owned company. You know, just very cool machines, very sophisticated, high-tech stuff. So I'm sitting there, and they're asking me all about my service and all this. And I'm I'm just thinking, you know, it was really no big deal. There was no war. There was nothing I did that was heroic. It was just time in, right? And so I got it out of him. It turns out the guy to my right was a retired Air Force fighter pilot, and he was one of the former owners of the company, one of the partners. The guy to my left just came back from a tour in Afghanistan. He's one of the grandsons. And the guy to his left was a retired Air Force pilot. And the guy to his left with his cousin or brother, another retired Air Force pilot. So we have these three high school kids and all us Air Force guys. They're trying to make a big deal out of me doing, you know, my 6 years in the military, which was really nice of them. But here it turns out they're all at least equal or bigger players. Some of those guys did 20 some years.
Right.
And they were just a phenomenal group. I just wanted to give a shout out to the folks at Barnett in Holland, Michigan. A great group of people, very humble. They sponsored our table. It was awe-inspiring, but what a day. Just it's called the Veterans Thanksgiving. And we had a bunch of people from the veterans home wheeled in buses. And, you know, it was just very, very cool to see. I bet you there were 600 to 800 people in this room. It was at the JW Marriott.
Yep, very cool.
It was awesome, awe-inspiring.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks to you folks in Holland. That was very cool. But it is National Barbecue Month. Jop, any last-minute tips?
No, just be safe out there. Check your equipment. And, you know, if you're going to light your gas grill, open the top. Don't do it with the top closed. You get a closed chamber, she goes boom real quick, and people get hurt that way and burned. But
good way to launch mice, though.
Other than that, we'll have lots of tips throughout the summer for you because we're just getting started. Man, it's still May, and we got this whole summer barbecue coming up. So we appreciate you listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network each and every week. We hope you'll tune in next week when we do this all over again.
That's right. And don't forget, I am on Twitter. It's Grillin' Guy at Twitter.